This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Matt McNeil Show, now fatter for your pleasure. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Yes, oh God. Got all the candy eaten, all of it. Every single, oh my, was it tasty. Matt, Brett here. Brett, I haven't seen forever. Hey, how are you, Brett? How are things? How was your holiday?
Been, I think, since mid-December since I last saw you. Yeah, had a good holiday myself. How about you?
Doing very well. Where'd you go? Were you just in town here?
I was pretty much in town.
Nice. Did you get out and do anything fun? Were you at the Winter Classic or anything like that?
Oh, God, no. I did not go to the Winter Classic.
Oh, man.
Brutal.
Brutal was the game. You know, I could have probably dealt with the cold. I can't believe. I mean, it got really cold about the end of the second period. It got really cold out at Target Field. Nice job, Minnesota Wild. Look forward to that 0-4 showing in the first round of the playoffs.
Don't they do this every December and January where they go on a big swoon after a hot start?
They don't know how to play in big games. They just don't know how to play in big games. And I just get tired of the, 0-4 playoff runs, and they're like, oh, well, wasn't it a great season? No, half the league makes the playoffs and you guys can't do anything. You're a mid-level team at best. And here you are. You're on national television. I'll tell you what, Minnesota looked phenomenal for that broadcast. Did you see how Target Field looked with all the ice rinks?
Great,
Oh, just spectacular and a jam-packed, even though it was brutally cold, jam-packed Target Field. You couldn't have asked for a better image of hockey fans. You really couldn't have. And that's the product you delivered. Wow. Wow. You should be embarrassed. And you can't say you guys were tired. You hadn't played a game in, 2 weeks? It was pathetic. The St. Louis Blues. St. Louis, it hardly freezes in St. Louis. And those guys were able to skate around you like you were standing still. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. But not the most embarrassing thing this weekend. Brett, do you remember a plucky young broadcaster a few months back who made the prediction that if, God forbid, one of you idiot football players that didn't get vaccinated all of a sudden got COVID and it ended up costing us a playoff spot, boy, oh boy, would that be bad news for you. Do you remember that plucky young broadcaster, whatever his name was?
Yeah, what TV station was he from, or what radio station?
I'm not sure. It was me. That's right. It was me. I hate when I'm right. Well, actually, no, I don't. I love when I'm right. But, man, you could see this cab coming down the street with its doors wide open. So, in case you missed the large fart sound that came out of Wisconsin last night, Kirk Cousins decided, hey, I'm not going to get vaccinated for reasons. Ha! Ha! You dropped your MAGA hat somewhere, I'm guessing. Anywho, he did not get vaccinated and kind of lead a revolt of vaccination. I mean, that's the impression I got. I don't know if that's true or not, but the impression I got was, there was a crew of Vikings that were following his lead that weren't getting vaccinated. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Minnesota was the worst team in the NFL for vaccinations, correct? Am I mistaken about that?
Yeah,
I thought that was
I think all their star players generally didn't. Harrison Smith didn't get vaccinated. Adam Thielen, I don't think he was vaccinated either.
I think Cook and Jefferson did. I don't think Thielen did. I don't think Harrison did. I don't think a few of the linemen did. Well, last week, Kirk Cousins, in something that was, easy to predict, got COVID. And so he was out for that game. And I loved the prediction segment on the Sunday Night Football before that game. And they're literally like, who do you think's going to win? Green Bay or Minnesota? Green Bay. I mean, that was no one. They all. Spielman needs to go. I think this is a lot of him. I feel sorry for Zimmer. Now, and I'll be the first to say this. I don't understand if it's third and eight while you're passing the ball 2 yards. I just don't get that because your entire game plan for a first down is dependent on blown defensive coverage or someone missing a tackle, and usually defenses are not going to oblige you on that. So I don't understand that. So I'm a little bit, you know, there's some issues there. But I like Zim. I'm going to be honest. I like Zimmer. I think Zimmer's a good coach. I think he's got a you know, locker room poison in Kirk Cousins. And I think that he's got a god-awful general manager that saddles him with insane decisions. And so the Vikings are done. I think the most important thing, though, Brett, I think we've learned here is that stadiums get you championships. Oh, God. It's undeniable. Undeniable. Brand new billion-dollar-plus stadiums. They just get you. It's like printing money. It's like printing money. Thank God we built that monstrosity. We get years of watching this crap. Years and years. I mean, it literally will be, at least we're in a nice building. That's the saddest part. Isn't that the saddest part about this football team? Is that you're banking on people, oh, the building's kind of nice. They make it snow in here. That's kind of cool. That's kind of interesting. As opposed to the product on the field. Nope. Green Bay Packers play in an ancient, decrepit stadium. They keep just adding bleachers to, and you guys, they can't. They just keep winning. You guys keep building top of the line $1 billion. Well, $2 billion. I mean, we did the numbers here with all the other things the city had to do, like sewer lines and electrical lines and all that stuff. Oh, that's two bill. And like I said, stadiums get you championships. Outside of that, I had a nice holiday. I did get around. Man, did I had not been to the Swedish Institute. I hadn't been there in years. God, what a beautiful house that is. Have you been there? Have you been to that place over on Park?
Not that one, no.
Holy God, is that magnificent. That building I talked to Larry Mullett. He was one of the holiday interviews we did. He did a book called Once There Were Castles. It quite literally was a castle that this guy had built in South Minneapolis. And it's become the housing of the Swedish American Institute. It's just magnificent. And got a chance. I went through there, did the Bell Museum, saw the giant beaver. Love that. Hey, it's family fun for everyone. Okay. Enjoyed the Bell Museum. Went out to Minnesota Historical Society. Haven't been out there. Saw the Sinclair Lewis exhibit. Who likes dry, witty writing? Okay. You know, I'm just going to make this observation. Hey, I'm definitely a historic person we should remember. But man, that's a tough sell for the kids. That's a tough sell for the kids. Hey, look, it's our wall of books. I watch these young kids like 8, 9 years old come in and like, no way. Yeah, I'm gonna go back out and look at the tornado thing again. That's it. who likes the Dewey Decimal System? Oh, we all do, don't we? Sinclair Lewis is great. You should read these books if you haven't. They're quite good. But it's not exactly, I will be the first to say, I don't think it's necessarily the most kid-friendly exhibit. Probably 16 years old is your minimum age on that one. Just saying. Went to both art museums, the MIA and the Walker. I shouldn't say both. I mean, we have multiple other ones, of course, in town here as well, including the Russian Museum of Art, the Wiseman. I think it's the Museum of American Art over in St. Paul. But went to both of them. Spectacular. Just spectacular. You can just lose yourself in the MIA, the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. You can just lose yourself for hours in that place. Every time I go in there, I always see something new that I never seen before. They have a harp in one of the rooms from like 1700s. So I'm going to guess the thing is worth already like $5 million. It's one of the most – I was looking at it. It's like one of the most intricate things I've ever seen in my life. Some guy actually sat down and made an artistic harp. It's like 300 years old. Amazing.
enjoyed that. And, of course, the Walker's got some great stuff out there. So I hope you had a good time. We just – it was – you know, you're saying – you might be saying to yourself, Matt, you know, Omicron, why were you going out? And pretty much everywhere we went, there was not many people. The MIA, Minneapolis Institute of Arts, that was – sparse. Well, that place is huge. You know, it's easy to get, you know, go into a room by yourself in that place. The Walker was probably the busiest. The Walker Art Center was probably the busiest with the two exhibits they have in there. Still, it was pretty easy to stay socially distanced from people, and everyone was wearing a mask. The Bell Museum, you know, the planetarium was a little iffy, but, you know, I got to get my space on, you know. And like I said, giant beavers. Can't miss that. And so yeah, that was delightful. And then the Swedish House, I mean, it's busy in the place, shockingly busy in that place. But once again, on as a tour, it's a castle. So you pretty much can be socially distanced from it. Castles are good for social distancing. You know, it's just not exactly the warmth and cuddleness of a castle, you know. So I didn't do that bad. You got to be careful out there. You've got to be careful out there. I've got a good friend in Ireland who's now the entire family's got COVID. My kids came back from school today for the first day back. They're over in the Hopkins School District. They said, oh, yeah, there's a lot of kids who are sick. A lot of kids were out. Don't know what we can do. I mean, we've been, you know, well, Omicron, I mean, here's the good news. And I read a lot over the break about Omicron, especially as the research is now coming in. Wildly more contagious, but if you're vaccinated and you have your booster, it's basically like a bad cold for a few days and then you're done. So, you know, at least that's for most people. Obviously, there are exceptions to those rules, but if you're unvaccinated, it hits you like regular COVID. So be careful. We're not as bad as the East Coast with Omicron. I mean, if you look at the maps for Washington Post, New York Times, and you look at their breakdown where the cases are, it's not a surprise. It's every community on the East Coast, Denver and Los Angeles and San Francisco, any place where there was a nonstop flight from Europe or from South Africa. And, you know, and that was, 2 months ago, and now we're seeing the fruits of the labor. Reminder, the first case in Minnesota, the guy didn't get it in Minnesota. He got it at the Javits Center out in New York City. People flying there for a convention of some sort. What was it, a comic book convention? Do you remember that? What he was
something
there?
Something like that. Yeah.
Got to be careful out there. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break a little early here. We'll come back. I got a lot of Minnesota coronavirus to get to. Other stories as well. I'm going to give in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to give the Democratic Party, the DFL, a game plan to not only win, but to annihilate the Republicans this election cycle. Trust me, this will work. I'll get back to that in the 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, thank you very much to Todd Colet, sponsoring our radio station this week. Thank you very much, Todd. We do appreciate it. He's retiring after, I think it's 62 years. Nicely done. Of course, we know of his band, Just Folk. He also has the band Daddy Do Band from 2003 to 2009. They are both, by the way, featured on Bandcamp.com. I'm going to put the links out a little bit later on for both of those bands on Bandcamp. Go give them a listen at the Bandcamp sites. Thank you very much, Todd. Once again, he moved to Spain. I believe the term is Lucky Duck. And he is, of course, now retiring from music. He does support the station, and we do appreciate that. So he sponsors for the week. If you'd like more information about that, more than welcome to call us at 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. And by the way, speaking of helping support the station, if you do become a member of AM 950 or renew your membership, you'll get the 2022 calendar out ready for you right now. Time's a-wasting. Time's a-wasting, I'll say. We have the calendars in-house ready to go. Go on to am950radio.com, click on the calendar, find out how you can get a calendar by making a donation. It's a thank you gift from us here at AM 950. Thank you. So find out more there by heading on over to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. 952-946-6205. 6205. Monday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 6,780 newly reported cases, 48 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll is now 10,564. Today's report includes data that was reported in a 24-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Thursday, December 30th. Now, I got to believe a little bit that this might actually have some other day's numbers in it. And the reason I say that is 6,780 is a lot for a single day. And we've actually been coming down from our worst levels. I'm not saying it's not possible, but my gut feeling is that might include some other cases that were looped in with that day. Just because of the holidays, it gets quirky on the reporting times. But today's it's apparently the 24-hour period from 4 a.m. Thursday to 4 a.m. on December 31st. The December 31st through January 3rd update will be provided on Tuesday, and that should be a fairly large number. Minnesota's test positivity rate over the seven-day rolling average, including through December 23rd, is 8.9%. Now, that's actually been going up again. Now, we were at, 11.9 for a while. 10 is the really bad level. There's high community transmission everywhere at 10. 8.9, we were at 8.7 for a few days. I don't think it got lower than that. Now, I didn't catch the news every single day I was on the holidays. But I think it got down to 8.7. Now it's back to 8.9, a little bit of a rise. We'll have to see what Omicron does here. Anything over 10% puts Minnesota in the high-risk threshold for community transmission of the coronavirus. Through December 30th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 1,313. That's down from 1,318 reported on December 19th. Of those hospitalized, 283 people are in intensive care. That's down from 308. And 1,030 are in non-ICU care. That's up, actually, from 1,010. Can I just – it's not good. And we can't be lured into thinking numbers are good just because things were really, really sucky for a while. But 283 people is – it's nice to see the number of people in intensive care – down from the 300s, okay? It's nice to see us actually get below that threshold. Hopefully we stay below that. The latest hospital capacity data shows there are 32 staffed adult ICU beds available in the entire state. None, though, in the Twin Cities metro area. That's down from 34 on December 29th. 13 pediatric ICU beds available, which is down from 15 on December 29th. As of December 28th, the state reported that 3,753,519 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while 3,519,232 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 1,712,538 third-dose booster shots. According to the CDC, which cites data from September of 2021, an unvaccinated person was 5.8 times more likely to get COVID-19, 14 times more likely to die from COVID-19 than someone who was fully vaccinated. By the way, and we can update that number, it was 20 times more likely to die if the person was vaccinated and they had a booster. Total number of cases in Minnesota, 1,028,986. Yeah. Some good news. Governor Tim Walz is out of quarantine after testing positive just before the holidays for a breakthrough COVID-19 case along with his wife and school-aged son. The governor said on Monday the family recently tested negative after first confirming on December 20th they had contracted the virus. The governor and his wife, Gwen, are both vaccinated, have received booster shots. Their son, Gus, is also vaccinated but was the first in the family to experience cold-like symptoms. We had our 15-year-old, a public school student, test positive, which is not that unusual for families out there. And then Gwen and I did, said Walz in a Monday morning interview. The good news is we have been able to test and we were able to quarantine. Walz said the family experienced mild to moderate symptoms and their COVID-19 cases prevented them from seeing their college-age daughter and other family members over the holidays. Now, once again, I want to be, well, you got sick. That's what you hear. You hear the idiots, right? Yeah, I'm against vaccines because, look, he got vaccinated and he got sick. Yeah, but he didn't get sick for long and seemed to have recovered. The entire family seemed to recover. Meanwhile, in the ICU, unvaccinated morons, You know, if you don't know how science works, shut up. Can I just say that? I mean, do you realize you don't know what the hell you're talking about, unvaccinated morons? You don't. And you keep thinking you're clever. You're as stupid as a brick. I hear the Governor Walz got sick. He got vaccinated. See, vaccinations don't work. No. That's not how it works. In this case, he got a mild case versus unvaccinated people who are on freaking ventilators left and right. I'll tell you what. I mean, it was the game plan the Republicans put out there is plain enough for everyone to see. They were the ones that basically kept fueling this fire of distrust in vaccines and medicine and science. And so they encourage, and they did. The Republicans openly encouraged people to not get vaccinated, to not trust medicine, to instead take horse dewormer and jam it up their backsides as alternative medicine or drink bleach. And they did this just so they could try to make a political point. And my God, over the holidays, how many right-wing fools saying, how come Joe Biden hasn't stopped this? The same people who proudly say, I'll never get vaccinated. I'll never get vaccinated. Are the ones saying, how come Joe Biden hasn't stopped this? Joe Biden has tried to give you as much help as you can. Free vaccines, free testing, as much information as you can get. And you have purposely ignored him. And now things are bad because the unvaccinated idiots are causing more problems. Now you have the audacity to imply that Joe Biden's somehow the failure here? Please. Get vaccinated, you idiots. Get vaccinated, you idiots. I can't wait for you clowns to be sitting there 6 years down the road when you're still scratching out checks to your local hospital because you owe them $150,000, $200,000 because your dead relative was on a ventilator for 2 months. For you to sit there and say, I wonder who I could blame for this now. Look, they're taking my money because of the medical treatment they had to get because of my ignorance. I don't want you sick. I don't want you dead. And I don't want you bankrupt for the next 10 years. But here we are. Here we are. It was the first time Walz tested positive for COVID, although he is needed to quarantine after past exposures. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who is vaccinated, contracted the virus in October after her school-aged daughter tested positive for COVID. That's usually the kind of the way that goes here. Walz used his own case to encourage Minnesotans to continue getting tested as the highly contagious Omicron variant of the virus continues to surge in Minnesota. Even if you're feeling like it's a mild symptom and it feels like there might be a cold, which was in our case, the test proved that a COVID, which allowed us to isolate, not spread it to my 87-year-old mother, my wife, family, things like that. Smart. Governor Walz, smart. And by the way, can I say this? I like you, Governor Walz. I do. I like Governor Walz. I mean, not everything. Line three, come on, dude. But, you know, I think it's important that you say this. You know what? Hey, we got tested. I felt like a little bad. So I got tested, found out I had COVID. Thank God we did, because then my 87-year-old my mother or your grandmother or your elderly patient, parent or family member or your family member that has a compromised health issue, none of them get exposed. Well done. See, that's the point. And now that they all tested negative, you know what? So you have a little bit of a January celebration. Good. You do it safe. He's not dead. He got sick for a little bit, but he's better. And he sure as heck is not bankrupt for the rest of his life. See? This is simple. Get vaccinated. Please. Please. And people say, well, you're not asking nice enough. Dude, I spent a freaking year begging you politely get vaccinated. Listen here, you freaking knuckleheads. Go get jammed. Go. Now. You stop whining. Stop trying to turn yourselves into victims. Stop trying to have your own little pity party, you selfish little brats. Go get vaccinated. See, I can be nice. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Please, all right? We'll take a break. Come on back. More coronavirus update when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Some Minnesotans seeking at-home COVID tests during the return to school or work following the holidays were frustrated in their attempts over the New Year's holiday weekend. Several residents shared on social media the messages they'd received when they attempted to apply for a free at-home COVID saliva test that can be obtained obtained by the state saliva testing provider, Vault Health. The message informed them that all available free tests had been shipped out for the day, and they wanted one. If they wanted one shipped, they would have to pay for it. This happened through New Year's weekend, which also coincided with the state's free COVID-19 testing facilities being closed on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Aha! So the other facilities were closed, and so, yeah, seems like someone was looking at an opportunity here. At least that's what it appears. I mean, I'm not saying it is for sure, but it's just a coinkydink that all the other facilities were closed, and now we got a limited amount of tests. You got to pay. Happy holidays. Just a coincidence. That's all. Really, it is, but it sounds a little nefarious. Basically, they were closed New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, just days before the students across the state were to return to school. On Twitter, the account for Vault Health, which became Minnesota's saliva testing partner in late summer of 2020, said that a cap on free testing was being implemented due to extremely high demand for COVID tests during the holiday. But a Vault Health spokesperson told Bring Me the News that it had always had a cap on free tests on a typical day is 6,000 tests a day. But apparently they don't cross that too much. However, this cap was reduced to just 1,500 tests per day over the weekend, which it says was because UPS, one of its delivery partners, was not operating. All right, let me step back a quick sec here. All right. So you're saying some delivery services were operating, right? I'm going to guess, FedEx, is there any other ones, major ones? There are a few other major ones.
Oh, for like shipping?
Yeah.
Postal Service.
Yeah, Postal Service. Well, but I mean, they'd be closed over the holiday weekend too.
Yeah.
But it sounds like someone was delivering. You're telling me the other delivery company didn't want your business? I mean, that's the implication is like, so UPS isn't working, which is fine. I mean, that's your story. But you say FedEx comes to the door and you say, hey, whoa, we got all these extra packages. And FedEx goes, whoa, we don't want to deliver all those extra packages. No. Stop giving us more business. Is that what you're saying? Because I don't think that's really what happened. I don't think that other businesses that were operating over the holiday weekend were out there saying, no, we're not going to take any extra business from you that the other people would usually do, but since they're on vacation, we'll go to you. Maybe you had some, my guess is, having worked in a company that had a shipping department at one point, you had a deal set up with one of the shippers and that it would have cost you more to use the other shippers, not bankrupted you by any means, and you still would probably made some money, but you just basically decided to, as opposed to go down that path, well, you got to pay for it. And by the way, it sounded like when you paid for it, they were quick to say, oh, well, it's going to take you a while longer to get this test back. Wow. So we got to pay for it and it's worth service? Please, where do you sign up? My goodness. So the other delivery company shows up and you've got like a pallet of boxes to ship and they say, whoa, 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 I'm here to pick up three boxes. We don't want all that extra business. Is that really what your story is? Because I don't think that's a good story. I don't think that's how it works. The cap had returned to 6,000 as of Monday. Gee willikers. Yeah, because all the other places are opened up. Now that the other businesses are opened up and there's not your product's not at a high demand premium, well, now we'll just go back to the regular number. Let me ask you something. So say you went to, and I'll just say you went to the United States Postal Service, and all of a sudden they say, well, we're closed, you can't deliver that. And you say to yourself, hey, there's that UPS store that's over there. And you drive over to the UPS store and say, hey, can I mail this here? I was going to mail it at the post office, but they're closed. Are they going to look at you and say, how dare you bring that here? Don't you know we were already too busy? People sending out New Year's gifts? The calendars are a hot item. I mean, those are in high demand. But I think we are all USPS, all right? I believe it's the United States Postal Service was delivering ours. Okay, that's you. But hey, I mean, I'm guessing it must be a quirk in the shipping department, right? That would be my guess. The limited access testing came in time for a surge of demand and testing following the holidays and ahead of the resumption of school. There have been multiple posts and videos shared on social media in recent days showing long lines at state testing sites, particularly on Thursday, which came before the two-day closures for the holidays. You can order it. I think a lot of people that were in those testing lines were people that had flights. They wanted to have a clean test before they went back on a flight. The testing sites in particular on Thursday became the two-day closure for the holidays. By the way, and I'll post the story up from Bring Me the News. They can order a COVID saliva test as well as find free testing locations across Minnesota. My daughter, who's supposed to go do an overnight for a school function later this week. This is me not holding my breath on that one. I'll get back to that in a second. But we're going to go get a test. And tell the truth, the place that we've gotten tested where we've been able to that morning, if we had a question on when they're sick, and so far, grace of God, indeed. We've not had any COVID in our house, thank goodness. But we've been able to get testing in on that day. Today, we called up the testing site. The earliest appointment they had was on Wednesday. So it's kind of one of those things where there is that high demand. Judging from the comments my daughters made coming back from school today, I'm of the mindset that most schools are going to be back to remote learning here by mid-month. Maybe that not that Minnetonka school with that super duper ventilation system that they keep talking about. Apparently the hover bubbles that the kids are in or something. I don't know what they're doing over at Minnetonka. But the hover bubbles which prevent any child there from ever getting COVID, I guess. I don't know. It was ventilation. It was the ventilation system, the super-duper ventilation.
He described
right?
it in a really odd way, too, I thought.
It's a superior ventilation system. Sure thing. Anyway, where's that bell once again? Oh, that's right, back where it belongs. Never mind. I'm going to guess most schools are going to be back to remote learning here by mid-month. Just this Omicron is so – It's spread so much. And as a matter of fact, interesting, the 1918 flu epidemic, I got into a fantastic conversation. A friend of ours named Sophie, she basically said to she said, do you know what happened there? Do you know why that stopped? And I said, no, actually, that's a good point, because there weren't vaccinations back then. Not anything on the mass level. I think there were some vaccinations, but I don't think there was. I don't think they rolled out a vaccine necessarily for that flu. What she said was there was a lesser harsh version of it that emerged, and basically everyone got it. And it was wildly contagious. Everyone got it, but it wasn't as serious as the original variants and the strains. And by the time everyone had gotten through it, there was enough people had gotten it to where you basically had society as a whole, clear of it. Now, that might sound like, well, that sounds like you're endorsing the herd immunity, but well, First of all, no, because we have vaccines where if we just get vaccinated at an 80% level, we kind of build up a natural herd immunity, and then people don't have to die. You know, I love your theory of, yeah, we'll just kill off a few million people, and yeah, you know what, the rest of us will be safe. Yeah, said it from a guy who's convinced you're not going to have a family member who dies. No, you have the ability here now, technology, science, advancements in medicine that tell us, guess what? You can get vaccinated and you're going to be fine if we get to 80% of the population vaccinated. And the reason why that, you know what? The reason why the United States is still one of the worst places in the world for this is because we have too many idiots running around who have become political foys, and they just, yeah. Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. Because you know what? I don't want to have a situation where everyone in the country has to get sick, because a lot of people are going to die. A lot of people are going to die. And the reality is that flus don't match up. They don't work the same way. A lot of people. As a matter of fact, another thing I read this weekend over the holidays, there's a lot of people that are speculating in rural America, they're going to have COVID outbreaks in towns for years to come. Years. So that like the rest of the state will not have a problem, and then I'll just pull out a Fergus Falls. Just say Fergus Falls. All of a sudden, Fergus Falls is just covered in COVID. And we're going to have to send out an emergency response team. We're going to have to get ICU beds, emergency ventilators up there. And that scenario is going to unfold in rural America for decades to come. Just ugly. Omicron dashed the dreams up from Axios Twin Cities. Omicron dashed the dreams of a 2020 free COVID disruption. The rapid spreading variant has prompted temporary restaurant closures, concert and flight cancellations, and delays return to in-office plans. Everyone from the Ordway shut down the Donna Summer musical. They had a lot of concerts. I mean, Dessa had to postpone her concert. I love Dessa. I love you. It was tough. One of the guys from Dury, from the band we talked to, Adam got sick. I think he got sick. So all my best, my friend. Hope you're doing well. A lot of things had to get canceled, but once again, I think it was for the best. While it appears Omicron causes less severe illness for many, a winter surge in infections threatens to overwhelm the already stressed healthcare system. Weeks or months more of business closures and empty office desks could hinder the economic rebound, especially in downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul. Over the next 3 to 4 weeks, we are going to see the number of cases in this country rise so dramatically that we're going to have a hard time keeping everyday life operating, said the University of Minnesota infectious disease expert Michael Ohlstrom. He said that on MSNBC last week. 67% of Minnesotans over the age of 5 fully vaccinated, 50% of those 18 and older boosted. We're in a much better place. By the way, I want everyone to, just for a future story here I'm going to talk about, I want you to remember those numbers. 67% of Minnesotans are fully vaccinated. 50% of the state is already boosted. Okay? And by the way, the news today, did you see that 12 to 15-year-olds now, they've approved the Pfizer boost for them. Hopefully we'll be able to get more people boosted. We're a much better place than we were at the pandemic's onset. Testing and better treatments have given us tools to reduce spread of serious illness, and experts are hopeful that once the Omicron wave ends, life will finally be able to more closely resemble normal, as Caitlin Owens wrote for Axios about that. A spike in cases as people return to school and post-New Year's Eve celebrations could cause a difficult few weeks. We'd all hope for the return of normalcy by now. Instead, we're bracing for more sickness and frustration. Thanks, unvaccinated people. You're just a peach. Please, 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 please get vaccinated. If it helps, we don't need to know. Brett, do you need to know if some Republican out in rural Minnesota got vaccinated? I don't need to know it. Do you need to know that?
I, on their hand, do. Actually, I'm just kidding. No, I don't. No. I mean, yeah, it's really that big of a deal.
Oh, sticking your nose in their business, Brett. The big city slicker.
That's what we always do here in the big cities. Yeah, we're always interfering in their business.
For the record, we neither one of us care, right?
No.
I mean, who could care? I don't care. Shh. Keep it quiet.
I've heard of people actually doing that, though, where they've gotten vaccinated and they don't want to tell anyone. They're afraid they're going to get shamed.
Use a fake name. I don't care. Just get vaccinated. Take your family. Drive 2 hours out of your city and pretend you're city slickers. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Where can I get a bagel and an oil change at the same place at 2 a.m.? Oh, hey, vaccinations. Why don't we do that? I don't care. Pretend you're city slickers. I don't care. We're actually from Wayzate, so give us a vaccination. Boy, oh boy, we're sure from the city. Oh, I love beautiful Wayzate. I don't care. We're a disguise. Clark Kent, I could care less. Just go get vaccinated, all right? We don't care. I just don't want you sick, and I don't want you dead, and I don't want you bankrupt. Is that too much to ask? I hope not. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Have you seen the immersive Van Gogh thing they got over in town here at all? Have you gone to that?
What is this? No.
You haven't seen the images or anything like that? The advertisement for this? You basically walk in a room and they broadcast kind of animated Van Gogh pictures on the walls and stuff. Yeah. So you basically like sit in a room and do that?
That sounds pretty cool.
They did an exhibit at the Walker like that where it was, a black light and, you know, it had these, you know, you went in the room and the images went all around you. And that was really cool. And that seems like kind of the next generation on it. Now, I got to be careful here because this is a racket story and they like their salty language. I guess I got to be careful as I read this. Critics hated the immersive. Okay, just I don't want to spoil anything, but didn't get the best reviews. Did not get the best reviews.
No.
Okay. Let me say this. We have sensational museums in this town. Not only do we have fantastic art museums, the Walker and the MIA, I mentioned them earlier, spectacular. We have fantastic history museums, the Hennepin History Museum, Minnesota History Museum. You have museums on the mill city. We have a museum on the history of flour milling, and it's entertaining. It's absolutely entertaining. There's a lot of great museums out there that are locally based. Just want to say that. That are really good. Nothing against this. But you'll understand why I'm saying that when I get to this next point. Critics hated the immersive Van Gogh, the $40 to $55 unforgettable art experience that launched last August in Northeast Minneapolis. The Rackets critic commentator, Devin Bland, didn't care for the exhibit's projections of animated versions of Van Gogh painting straight out of a Van Gogh GIF Tumblr account circa 2012. Damn! The Star Tribune's Alicia Eller called the event, which Toronto-based production company Lighthouse Immersive stages throughout the United States, a sad excuse for art. All right. So, neither impressed?
Wow, they're not pulling punches on this.
It seems workers at the Immersive Van Gogh are not impressed either. 2 weeks ago, now former manager Quang Mi Tran issued a Reddit post titled, "The Immersive Van Gogh Exhibit is Violating Minnesota Labor Laws. Don't give it your money." In it, Tran alleged that Lighthouse Immersive failed to comply with Minneapolis's Sick and Safe Time Ordinance, which guarantees workers 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked. That public call-out was not his first attempt to inform Lighthouse about the ongoing labor law violation. I alerted Lighthouse CEO Greg Holland, as well as the producers, by email on November 14th, Tran told Racket. He essentially indicated that HR had been made aware. He added a snarky blurb about not needing to be told what to do. A few days later, Tran contacted the HR official Holland cited, and she was apparently still unaware of the sick and safe time violation. Okay, you guys are coming into a city. You got to know what the laws are when it comes to hiring people, for goodness sakes. On December 6th, after weeks of radio silence from Lighthouse execs, Tran and two other managers met with Lighthouse HR consultant Colton Heyer, who H-E-I-E-R, Heyer, who allegedly told them the sick pay issue is something they'd look into. No, it's not something you look into. It's something you comply with. 2 weeks later, Tran reached out to local Redditors, ending his post with a plea for please help us. On December 31st, Lighthouse President Corey Ross sent an apology memo to the Minneapolis staff, informing them that the current and former Lighthouse workers were entitled to future and retroactive sick pay. The blame was placed squarely on third-party payroll provider Paylocity. Seriously? Just stop it. Paylocity? That is...
That doesn't sound like a sketchy company at all.
Yeah, I can see. So you came up with a name for this as you dusted the Cheez-Its crumbs off your chest. As you, Travelocity? Paylocity. We failed to double-check their work, Ross wrote. Oh, yes. For that, I apologize. It was never our intention to not follow the rules. While Tran alleges Lighthouse only took action after sick pay issue went public, PR representative Nick Harkin says the company immediately contacted Paylocity. Seriously, dude. Come on, man. You got to do better than that. It took a while for the payroll company to do the math. Really? Really? A payroll company apparently doesn't know how to pay people correctly.
What are they, like, using pen and paper one guy?
Hey, Louie, pass me some more Cheez-Its here, and we need to do some tabulations. I think our math is off in Minneapolis-St. Paul, it's just a smidge. We'll take a break. Hour two of the show is up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Back after a holiday there. By the way, all the interviews we did on the brand new to you shows are available. Can we also throw the Stein one we did on last Thursday in there?
I think it might be on there. I'll check it out. I might have missed one or two.
Throw that in there, too. For
throw Stein on there. Yeah, I noticed you had Sven on last week, too.
We had Sven nice. On last week. We also had Sven as part of the brand new to you shows. He did a great – we could have easily talked an hour about climate change. But we have that a nice jam-packed, like, 20-minute interview. You can hear that. Larry Millett for the full hour. God, I love Larry.
That one's got a lot of people have listened to that one, I can see already. I recommend checking it out, too.
Larry is – and I mean, it's – he's my favorite author right now. Larry Millett is my favorite author right now. I love his history books. I love his mystery books. And you can't go wrong with either one of them. Sarah Wasserman, Amy Sullivan – as well.
Great Dolores Pringle interview.
We took the Penn Center. And we could have talked for 2 hours with her again. We talked with her a half hour in August. I said, okay, we got to have you back for an hour. We talked for a full hour. That whole thing that they're doing down there on St. Helena's Island, where they're educating the African-American, the traditional African-American owners of the land, especially the coastal land, to not get hoodwinked and to sell off their highly valuable coastal properties in South Carolina to land speculators. What a great thing that is. What a great thing that is. And they've had tremendous success. And they have kept that island pretty much still owned by the traditional owners. Fantastic. Yeah, just great. Jack Rice.
Oh, yeah.
We got Jack in there. Just everyone. It was so nice. Bill Lindecki was in there. Lindecki was in
Cliff
there.
Cliff already?
Cliff. Cliff Schechter. We also, Terry John Zila is in there. We talked holidays with him. And in fact, he's got his big coffee shop opening up over in St. Paul coming up here. We'll talk with him, have him come back here in a few weeks to talk a little bit about that. But no, you want to hear all those? We have them all. They are available to you on the podcast sites. Just whatever one you wanted to hear, just type it in. There you go. Matt McNeil Show. And type in, Terry John Zila. And there you go. You're going to be able to pull it up. You'll be able to listen to that. Enjoy. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So do you remember We had, I don't know if you're aware of this, has your car been stolen yet? Just asking, has your car been stolen yet here in the city?
Not the past few years. No, I've been lucky, but I know a lot of people who have.
Four times in a single day. How about the guy, was he at Certix downtown? He got out of Certix and left his car running outside.
Well,
God,
what do you expect?
I would have stolen it out of principle. You idiot, what are you doing?
I thought you came up with a game plan on how to do this, or maybe we did a number of weeks ago, like, where you're not going to damage the car or anything, but you teach them a lesson.
Just to park it out back. And then lock it and chuck his keys into the bushes. You know, for goodness sakes, do not leave a running car outside. I don't care if you're out in Little Falls or Albert Lea. Don't do that, you fool. Ugh.
I don't even get what you gain by that. Well, I don't have to put my key back in the ignition when I get back in.
Well, whew, thank God I don't have that stressful thing. I don't have to push the button. Don't do it. We have had a lot of carjackings here in Minneapolis. And the thing which is interesting is there's a lot of them. I've had known people that have gotten their car stolen and stuff like that. And you hear this and the story you hear is, oh, what can we do? Yeah, that's the police. All right. It sucks to be you, guy. Thanks, Minneapolis police. You're a peach. That's kind of the mentality I've heard from some of these people. It's like, it's gone. Just forget about it. Anything that was in it is dead. It's all gone.
Seem to be great at reacting to crime. Yeah. Preventing crime. A little bit more of a challenge on their part.
When you call up 911 and you report your car stolen, and the first thing is, no, really? Okay, just hang it up at that point. You're done. All right. Until they went over there and tried to carjack some cars at St. Louis Park and then in Edina. Holy God. Did we activate the National Guard on that one? What was it 24 hours later? Oh, yeah, we knew where these guys were at. You knew where they were at. Why didn't you arrest? Yeah, we've been having our eye on these people. Well, that's good. You might want to have done something before they went and tried to do the things in Edina. But once again, what it proves is this. Certain areas, you just do not try to commit crime because the holy hand of hell is going to come down on you as it did with those guys. Was it 24 hours they had all those guys in jail? I mean, they did stare at the cameras like they were, you know, in a photo booth, for goodness sakes.
Wasn't this by like 50th in Edina as well, which makes that even...
There are cameras everywhere there. It's Edina. And every one of them, I mean, for gosh sakes, you probably have 500 cameras on the people, the square things, the rectangle things in their hand. They all have them. Well, let me just turn this on. All right. Yep, just taping you now. They had more images. I mean, it was like you went to glamour shots, for God's sakes. They had more photos of you everywhere. There was like a Channel 9 guy in the parking lot. Yeah, I might as well turn the camera on for this. There you go. Just, yeah, there's certain things you don't do. You try to pull a crime off in Minneapolis, it doesn't work the same way in Edina. Well, someone just learned that lesson at the Mall of America. And once again, the Mall of America.
They don't have a lot of cameras there.
Oh,
do
yeah.
They got one of the front door in that city.
Is that a camera in the urinal? What the? I hope not. Well, I don't blame you. But no. There are no cameras in the urinals at the Mall of America. It was a bad off-key joke. My bad. That being said, there are cameras everywhere outside the urinals and bathroom stalls at the Mall of America. Everywhere. There are cameras everywhere. Not only are there cameras in the Mall of America everywhere, there's cameras throughout the entire parking ramp. Everywhere. Everywhere. And then you have cameras on every light post around the Mall of America. They knew who you were, what car you were driving. Oh, you're an idiot. Seriously, you guys are dumb. And in case you missed the story, a 19-year-old St. Paul man is in custody and facing possible charges in connection to the shooting that left two people injured inside the Mall of America on New Year's Eve. According to Bloomington Police Department, the 19-year-old was arrested around 4:50 p.m. Sunday, January 2nd by the Bloomington Police SWAT team, 2300 block of Cleveland Avenue North in Roseville. The Bloomington SWAT team? In Roseville? I didn't think that's how it worked. The Roseville Police Department and the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office assisted during the arrest operation. The 19-year-old was identified as leaving the scene of the shooting with the suspected gunman, is being held for aiding and abetting first-degree assault. Oh, you're screwed. You might as well roll, dude, because, they got you. You don't do that. I mean, I understand. I mean, it's a sad thing. I would hope that this would be the Edina standard, the Mall of America standard, would be the standard everywhere. But it's not, unfortunately. But if you do go out there and pull a gun and start firing rounds in the Mall of America, may God have mercy on your soul, because every cop already knows who you are and where you're probably at. And you can run and hide, but they're going to get you, and they will find you. He is identified as leaving the scene of the shooting with the suspected gunman, as being held and aiding and abetting the first-degree assault, with formal charges yet to be filed at the Hennepin County Attorney's Office. Gunfire was reported inside the Mall of America at approximately 5 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Mall of America security officers responding to the sound of one gunshot. A lockdown was initiated immediately, according to police, who say the first responding officers provided aid to two men who were injured. One victim was taken to Hennepin County Medical Center with gunshot wound to the leg. The other man was treated at the scene and was released. Authorities said the victim and suspect appeared to have had past contacts, and the incident was not random. They know who you are, dude. Seriously, you pull a gun at Disney World and watch Pluto drop your ass. I mean, I'm serious. All of a sudden, you got to try to commit a crime there. There's going to be a Disney character driving your face into the asphalt. Yeah, you're under arrest. Where were you? Where was Goofy hiding the cuffs? Seriously, there are certain things you do not do, and commit gun crimes at the Mall of America, they're going to lock you up for 10 years just for taking the gun into the Mall of America. Dude, you're an idiot.
The dumbest place you could possibly pick to bring a gun.
You are running for your life at this point. And your buddy, I guarantee you they're throwing the book at him. So he's rolling on you. You're done. Good thinking, moron. But this is not the first time something like this has happened over there. It does happen. And every once in a while, we just need a reminder that you know, the way that law enforcement works in this city and in this state and in this country is there are certain communities and certain places you don't try to commit crimes, because they will crack down on you hard. And so, well, good luck with all that. I don't know what you were looking for. Maybe something nice from Burberry, but, you know, it ain't going to work out too well for you. Julie is in Minneapolis. Let's get Julie on in here before I get into the full hour. Welcome on in, Julie.
Hi, Matt. Say, my sister lives in Edina, and she and I were shopping in Byerly's Lunds, the one that's up on about 72nd in France.
Yeah.
And we're coming out of the store, and there's this Edina police cruiser that's going round and round in the parking lot. And my sister says, oh, yeah, well, they're not going to put up with that kind of stuff. They're not going to put up with that kind of stuff in Edina. And then I recall, you know, many years ago, I lived right next to Lake Nokomis, and the teenagers would be roaring around the lake, and it was just the number one hangout place for a long time. And somebody told me, who lived in Edina, he says, well, yeah, the Edina police, they send the teenagers over to Lake Nokomis because they want to get rid of them. They want to get them out of Edina. So it's pretty funny.
No, as a person that went to Edina High School, I know. but no, as a person that went to Edina, they wanted you to go cruise the lakes. They wanted to go to Bede Makoska, Harriet. Well, you went to Harriet because you were a Edina kid and you were terrified of the deep dark city at Lake Bede Makoska. Not the upscale urban area where there are eateries. No, you want to stay in, you know, the lily white Lake Harriet area. So yeah, there's a band shell. You feel safe. You're an Edina kid. No, that was kind of one of those things where, you know, and I mean, we were pulled over once. I was with a friend. We were pulled over once. And, you know, this is just such an Edina thing. We were pulled over, I think it was on Harriet. And they pulled us over, and the cop walked up to the car, and we're playing the classical radio station. The guy's like, all right, you can move on. Yeah, a bunch of really white kids here. And you can go. Classical music. All right, fine. We're done. It was funny because I went out there. I had a friend of mine say, we're going to go to Uptown because it's the belly of the beast. We're going to go in. Oh, it's the heart of this. You're going to go there. I went there and I was like, dude, what the hell am I doing with you people? This is my place, man. This is where I belong. Used to be there. Snyder Drug used to be downtown there. You used to be able to climb up on the roof of Snyder Drug. This is back when it was a Snyder Drug. I think it's now some kind of high-end spa. And you could stand up there and just watch the street. It was so cool. You hang up there. Everybody just go down and get some food at McDonald's. Come back up there, you know. Move down some nuggets. There you go. Chuck a nugget down on the crowd. They didn't know.
Yeah, I know. A little more character back in Uptown. Back
it
then.
Was. It was. It's slipped a little bit. But
a
it
little.
Was, it was okay, so they're not nearly as many skateboard punks as there were back then. But, hey, it was fun. That was my crowd. I found myself. Matt. Yes, Edina guy. Aren't you coming back with us? These heathens here in the Uptown area, they're not wearing matching shoes and belts. Come on, we need to go back. We can't leave you here in the deep, dark city where there are chain stores. No, we can't leave you here. You need to come back to Edina with us. You know what? I'm going to stay here. I will stay. We've lost him. He was a good kid. And then he went over there and had Spuds Plus when they were there on the corner of Hennepin and Lake. And that was the end of him.
There used to be a cookie. There used to be a bakery down there, too. It would be on the west side of the street between Lake and on Hennepin between Lake and Lagoon. So it was right next to Uptown Theater. There used to be a bakery in there. And they had the best cookies. Holy God. And, of course, and ended up dating a baker there. But it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I found my city back then, and that's when all hell broke loose. Let's just face it. I turned my back on the wealth and prestige of Edina, and I went into the city. So now if I get my car carjacked, we'll be there sometime in the future.
So that night, if you didn't go into the belly of the beast, you could have been a conservative talk radio host instead.
Oh, since you brought that up, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Then we're going to come back and talk about those Patriots from Lindstrom. Even I can't say that. Nope. I would have never been a conservative radio show. That's just not going to happen. I've got a brain. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's talk about Lindstrom when we come on back. And then let's talk about how the DFL could clean house this upcoming election cycle. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Okay, I'm going to be honest. We were down in Uptown with my church group to try to help convert people.
It makes it better, even.
Oh, I mean,
Wait, was really the stated goal to go there and convert people?
In Uptown. I'm like, well, Rocky Horror Picture Show is showing over there at in 10 feet, about an hour. Maybe I should go over there. I'm not getting back in the car with the classical music with you guys. I think I'm good. I don't know what you're hearing, but I'm gonna stay. I'm good. I found my people. Back then, dude, man, there was a sharp cut to that part of town. There was. And then you go down to Lindale and Lincoln with Tatters and Platters down there. God, it was great. Cheapo music. Oh man. All the places used to go hang out on down there. Thank you. You redeemed me. I mean, if there's anything that you can say, the church, guys, you know, you did really, you know, help me see the path. I mean, and I still am Christian. So, you know, good. All right, we can all feel good about that. 952-946-6205. And by the way, that whole story is true, too.
Picturing you guys going door to door in Uptown.
We're not going door to door. We're just like talking to the guy that was in his underwear singing show tunes. I'm like,
Can I
talk to you about the Lord? Oh no, actually, can you take requests? Do you know anything from Cats? You know, he was good. He actually could sing. It was very impressive. 952-946-6205. So let me just quickly touch on the story from the Star Tribune from yesterday about the Lindstrom folks. And by the way, Lindstrom, great publicity, you know, insurgency town. Good. Small town feels like an island surrounded by a chain of lakes with an idyllic Main Street and neighborhoods that neatly kept homes and churches. It presents a classic portrait of Americana in Lindstrom. But that tranquil image was shattered twice last year by armored SWAT vehicles and squads of FBI agents bursting through families' doors with guns drawn. Reminder to arrest traitors to America. Yep. By October, four men, one from Lindstrom family, had joined the still-growing list of Americans indicted on charges of storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. A fervent belief that the 2020 presidential election had been stolen, and what one relative has since described as a divine responsibility to protest the vote inspired by Westbury family to be there that day. By the way, it clearly, this is not the only one I've seen. There are some people that are going to try to, I think their defense is going to be it was their religious freedom to go there and violate the Capitol. That's going to be, I think, the way they're going to try to go. As Congress tried to certify the presidential election results, they rejoined a crush of Donald Trump supporters. The mob taunted police and shouted treason as they heaved past the shattered windows of the U.S. Capitol building and security alarms blaring. You left out the fact that they assaulted and beat police officers there. They were violent. Watching our country being destroyed by our own people is the saddest thing I've ever seen, read one Facebook post shared by Robert Westbury. I agree, too, but I think we're talking about two different things, Robert. The family's 62-year-old patriarch, he was referring not to what he saw inside the U.S. Capitol, which he describes in other posts as peaceful protest. Depictions of the contrary, he would write, were liberal lies. No, we see that. The bruised police officers are there. That's right. Those police officers don't matter to you guys. The Westburys were among the million of Americans sweeping across the raging current of falsehoods. And I give Star Tribune credit for at least calling them out as falsehoods. The election was stolen. COVID-19 vaccines are dangerous. Climate change is hype. The four family members facing federal criminal charges are Robert, Jonah, and Isaac Westbury, and Aaron James. Their defense and a related crowdfunding effort launched by Robert's wife, Rosemary Westbury, who has not been charged, is now unfolding along with similarly polarized interpretation of reality, with her family members charged with the litany of crimes related to the January 6th Capitol riot. Rosemary Westbury was blasted the government as tyrannical and called it a domestic threat. Thanks to the support from a Republican state lawmaker and multiple right-wing internet personalities accused of spreading conspiracy theories, including false claims about January 6th, the family has since raised roughly $37,000 to pay for its legal defense. And I'm going to take a guess, since we have some video, they're going to lose. Since speaking briefly by phone with the Star Tribune in October, Rosemary Westbury, along with the rest of the family, has not responded to requests for comment. Aaron James, 35, identified by Rosemary as her oldest son, told the reporter to leave the property at the Lindstrom home later that month. She now writes occasional dispatches about her family's case on the Christian crowdfunding webpage she manages, attracting donations as a Christian. No. Attracting donations and comments from supporters who believe the family is fighting back against injustice by being part of the group that was pooping all over the Capitol. Rosemary said her family's decision to travel across the country and protest the 2020 elections outcome on January 6th was at the request of Trump, but also had a sense of religious duty. I think your Bible is missing some passages. I really do. She says their political activism ceased once Congress certified the election and that the FBI is now retaliating against her family. Well, you can't burn down a building on Monday and then basically say, well, now that someone told me the fire is bad, I think we're okay. You don't have to prosecute me for the crime. I don't think you really can do it like that. Over the crowdfunding page, she offers up descriptions of early morning arrest operations featuring FBI agents breaking down the door with guns drawn. Can I get video of that? Oh, God, I would love to watch that. Love to watch that. Dragging your asses out of
There's
those.
There's got
to
be some sovereign citizen stuff in there, too. They're probably yelling.
Tears. Oh, please release the videos. Jonah Westbury, 26-year-old former collegiate wrestler at the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, became the first in the family to be charged in connection with participating in the U.S. Capitol riot when his own prolific social media activity became his undoing. Federal authorities arrested him in April, a month after the former high school classmate recognized him from videos he posted on TikTok. TikTok, Snapchat, and Twitter showing him walking around inside the Capitol after breaking in on January 6th, according to charging documents. A separate video shared with YouTube 2 days after the insurrection briefly shows three members of the family, Robert, Jonah, and Isaac Westbury, 19, with a pro-Trump mob that entered the Capitol. Some people in the crowd shattered windows and mockingly tugged on a Capitol police officer's face shield as they pressed their way inside. Take his helmet off. Get him, an unidentified person is heard yelling in the YouTube video. Other videos, including newly released footage from the Department of Justice of a violent clash with the Capitol steps, appears to show Isaac and Aaron James using a law enforcement shield to try to charge past police guarding a tunnel entrance. You know, evidence. Days later, Robert Westbury resumed posting on Facebook page that had gone quiet for several days during the family's trip to Washington, D.C. One of his first posts back home was to cast doubt on the circumstances which the mob entered the U.S. Capitol. Perhaps, though, they were allowed in. Get curious. Step back from the narrative you're being fed from the media and ask questions. It's not like you have anything there to basically try to change public opinion on. Isaac Westbury and Aaron James are accused of using a law enforcement shield to forcibly assault, resist, oppose, impede, intimidate, and interfere with an officer and with carrying a dangerous weapon in the Capitol as they allegedly tried to impede the orderly conduct of government, business, and official functions. Both are felonies, but most of the charges leveled against the four are misdemeanor offenses that include parading, demonstrating, and picketing in the U.S. Capitol building, civil disorder and disorderly and disruptive conduct in the restricted building or grounds. State Senator Mark Corin, the North Branch Republican whose district includes Lindstrom, briefly promoted the Westbury family's crowdfunding website and a post on his own on Facebook page that encouraged others to contribute to their legal costs. Here's a local family in Lindstrom that can use some help. What a jackass. They attended the January 6th rally and have been accused of charged with a variety of crimes, some very serious and some which seem to be just to punish opposing views, Corin writes. All I'm asking is they need assistance to mount a fair defense from the overbearing Department of Justice. They have a good family. Corin later deleted the post after receiving a volley of narrative responses because he's an ass. He declined to comment for this article. Jackass. A Minnesota poll last year found that about half the state's voters outside of Hennepin and Ramsey County. Okay, so stop. Hennepin and Ramsey County have 1.8 million people in them. Okay, you trying to make this a 50-50 argument by, well, if you remove a third of the state, you know what? It's a 50-50 toss-up. Please. Half the state voters outside of Hennepin and Ramsey counties either did not accept or had doubts about the legitimacy of the 2020 election. Yeah, it's easy if we do it that. If I remove this county and this county and this county and this county, see, I'm in the majority. Among Republicans, nearly half said Biden did not legitimately win the election. All right. In the Minnesota GOP, doubts over the outcome of the 2020 presidential election are already playing a prominent role in this year's contest for governor. None of the five leading Republican candidates for governor, when asked in the debate last month that they believe Biden won the 2020 election, directly answered. Some instead made unfounded claims of wrongdoing. Former state senator Scott Jensen cited without evidence abuses involving absentee mail ballots and dead voters. State Senator Paul Gazelka added, I don't think the election was fair, but I do think we have the results we have. State Senator Michelle Benson, when pressed on the moderator, came closest to answering. Then she conceded that Biden was certified by Congress, having won the Electoral College. False claims of Trump lost because of a rigged process have already undercut faith in elections have yet to take place. In November 2021, poll found that only a third of Republicans said they would trust the 2024 presidential election results of the preferred candidate lost. So, yeah, unless it's our candidate losing. By the way, is that the whole thing right there? If our guy loses, well, then clearly fraud happened. You're a bunch of idiots. Now, taking this information and information from the last hour as well, I'm going to come back after the break, and I'm going to lay out the successful plan for victory for the Democrats. Because you know what? 2022, just because Biden's in office doesn't mean it has to be an off year for the DFL or the Democrats as a whole. As a matter of fact, if you get off your asses and stop trying to think too damn hard, Democrats, you could trounce these clowns. Trust me. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I got a lot of people that are going through the old archives of the Star Tribune and finding stories about family members. Interesting. Brianna Biersbach talked about a family member who was abducted and killed. And Tevlin found out, John Tevlin, the old former writer, found out his grandmother was a victim of hit and run. Ugh. I don't even, do I really want to go back and look? It's going to be mostly about Cedric. Cedric Adams, he was my great uncle. He was a character. He was 1,000% a character. So that's what I find most of. When I've done these searches, I've gone on and done the news searches, I find a lot of stuff about him. But the rest of us, we just seem to be boring people. You know?
What if I Google your name from like late 80s, early 90s? Will we find any reports?
You can. Oh. And I imagine they're fun. I have no idea how the panda got in the backseat of my car. No idea whatsoever. It was a delightful pet. It was a dog. It wasn't a panda. It was a large poodle. 952-946-6205. All right, so I'm going to give you the way. Here it is, January 3rd, 2022. We're in a midterm year officially as of right now. My first radio show back. Here's how you're going to win. Here's how the Democrats are going to win. Now, I'm going to give you some marching orders as far as Democratic voters go. But if you all do what I'm about to tell you, the Democrats will trounce these clowns. And even in these gerrymandered districts in, say, like Ohio and stuff, one of the realities Republicans put forward is that for them to win, they need a large portion of the population to stay at home and not vote. And in years where there is high voter turnout, they get trounced. And even in their gerrymandered districts where they might have a large majority, the reality is still the majority of people in that district generally vote Democrat. It's just that a lot of them don't vote and they are banking on that. So listen to me really quick, okay? You, each one, and everyone that's listening to me, make sure 5 people get registered to vote. 5. And follow them through the entire process this year. Make sure they get registered to vote. Make sure they know where to vote come election day in 2022. Make sure that they know what identification, if they need it, whatever they have to have to go and vote legally, and make sure they get to the polls that day. If you do that with 5 people, if every Democrat who's listening to me right now does that with 5 people, it will be a butt-kicking of a magnitude the Republicans haven't seen in a long time. So please do that. That's the one thing you can do as a voter that can really make a difference. The Stacey Abrams method. Get as many people to the polls as possible. Legally, get them to the polls. Because if everyone who's listening to me right now gets 5 people to the polls, make sure they get registered to vote, make sure they know where to vote, make sure they get to the place they're going to vote on election day, Democrats will pick up a lot of seats. Yeah, it's a lot of work. But you know what? The option for you is Donald Trump and his cronies shutting down every investigation into what happened on January 6th. Now, DFL, candidates, politicians across the country, let me give you some advice. Don't think this through. Don't give me your 80-page summary on why, you know, green technology is the way to go. There are 3 paths of attack right now that the Republicans really don't have a response to. They don't. Now, the first one, I know you guys are not going to go down this road. But my God, if you don't start going down this road, it scares me to think of where religion is going to go. Now, quick little side note before I get into that. I have, of course, I've had a lot of people offer me suggestions on where I can go to church. And a brief summary of the story. My wife and I were Catholic. We've raised our kids Catholic, got married in the Catholic Church, loved our church. We had some, you know, discussions back when the
child sex scandal happened within the Catholic Church, whether we should leave. But the feeling was that, well, it never happened at our church. Our priests were just as outraged and mad. And so we stayed. And a lot of people left at that point. A lot of people left, but we stayed. Last year, the Council of Catholic Bishops, the Conference of Catholic Bishops, these are the American bishops that run the Catholic Church in the United States. They decided they wanted to start dictating politics. Now, they'll insist, we were never doing that. This was only about establishing a policy about abortion. They try to say that. The reality was when they were having these discussions about basically putting new rules in, they couldn't help themselves. And bishops were going out and talking to their local TV stations and talking about, my parishioners are mad at Joe Biden. Yeah. Apparently your parishioners, and granted, I think that the Conference of Catholic Bishops was being, a lot of their leashes were being tugged by the wealthy Republican donors that bankroll their parishes. I think that that was a lot of it. But they went with it, and they went down, and they said, we're going to start punishing people because of politics, political stances. And just for the record here, and I've said this before, personally, I'm against abortion. I am. Personally, I am. But it's everyone else's choice. It's not my job to dictate how you decide this. I've made my personal decision because of my religion. You make yours. It's that simple. All right? That's how I feel about it. And that is a feeling, and this is a mentality that I have gotten because of my religious faith. Now, that being said, I also believe in all the rest of the passages of the Bible, because the Bible and Christianity is not Gollum from Lord of the Rings with precious and one ring to rule them all. There's not one sin to rule them all within the Christian faith. It just isn't. And frankly, the fact that most Republicans have basically thrown the Gospel of Matthew out of their Bibles and a good portion of the Gospel of Luke, too. Money worshiping is evil. It really is. Anyhow, you've thrown all that out of the Bible. And they generally quote secondary New Testament passages or the Old Testament. And yeah, needless to say, they're not following Christianity at all, at all. And most of the Christian faith is a pretty progressive liberal stance. It really is, against war, against hunger, health care for all, welcoming in strangers from strange lands, wealth worshiping is evil. And, it's a hoot. You should read it. It's a great book. Especially Republicans, because clearly a lot of you haven't. That being said, my wife and I decided to leave the Catholic faith, not because of our local priests. Our local priests were brilliant. I like Francis as the Pope. I do. It was the Conference of Catholic Bishops, and we have walked away. I will say I had a lot of people give us suggestions and make suggestions on churches we could go to, because I believe in my Christian faith. I do still like being Christian. I've been out quite a bit to the Westwood Lutheran Church, lovely church. I've enjoyed that church quite a bit. My wife and I have been going there. The music there is sensational. I've really enjoyed being at Westwood. Also, in Charis, the ecumenical Catholic community, I wanted to thank them. We went out for Christmas service with them. It was lovely. It was lovely. It's if you're ecumenical, it's kind of a newer version of the Catholic faith. And give me an idea, the priest, she gave a fine sermon on Christmas. I quite enjoyed that. You kind of get the point there. They people that like to get politics out of religion. Anyhow, thank you very much. I've had a lot of great suggestions out there. Those are the ones we're going to try for the time being. I'll let you know if I need to try some other ones. But thank you from the bottom of my heart to all the people that have welcomed me and my family into your church over the last 6 months or so. It's been really wonderful, and I've enjoyed it quite a bit. Like I said, I think we're going to stick with Charis and Westwood for a little bit and see how that goes. All right? All right. Now, that being said, number one, DFLers, Democrats, it's about time you guys started fighting back on religion, because of the 2 points I just made. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. These are actual teachings from Jesus, not some secondary thing from the Old Testament or a secondary book of the New Testament. These are actual Gospels of Jesus, Jesus' life, Jesus' direct teachings. And if you are Christian, you believe that Jesus Christ was, you know, is God on earth and came back, and that's who you are. So these books should matter to you. They really should. So if you are a religious person and you basically have been tired of watching the Catholic faith get dragged through the mud by far-right Republicans, start fighting back. And when they say, we're the good Christians because we're trying to save babies, and you say, where's the Gospel of Matthew in your book? Because they can't answer that. They can't answer it, especially that welcoming strangers from strange lands. I shared a story on Progressive Citizen X of a conservative that tried to challenge me on that. And he said, well, in the Bible, Jesus said that if your politics don't agree with it, you can ignore it. And I was like, oh, what passage was that one? He never came back to me and told me. Never came back. And said, well, think about that. Oh, yeah, you know, here's my teachings on the earth. But if you just don't want it. No, he never said that. And by the way, my disclaimer about religion, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do, okay? I'm Christian, former Catholic. All right, there you go. So you can, if you start fighting back on religion, which you should, because it's really disturbing to see where they're taking religion right now. I mean, have you seen some of these priests that are and pastors who are calling for armed insurrection? For goodness sakes. Reminding people that, hey, we're not the ones ignoring the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. That's a pretty good swing. You're gonna connect with that one. And if they try to say, whoa, babies, it's like, wait, last I checked, Christianity is not supposed to be like Lord of the Rings. It's not one ring to rule them all. There are a lot of teachings here. You're ignoring most of them. I'm not. Touche. Bing. There are two more areas here. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't think a lot of Democrats have the heart to go fight that fight. And that's a shame because the Christian faith is, there's a reason why more people have left, you know, the church in years. And that's because I think that people are just tired of this far right wing version of Christianity where Jesus has got a gun. I just don't think they're big fans of that. But I just don't think the Democrats have the heart to fight back on that level. I don't. But there are two other areas where they can fight back on, and they can make some real, real, real damage to the Republicans. I'll get back after the break. I'll tell you about them. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Pardon me a quick second. I'm replying to a far-right loon ball. And block. And successful. See, my life's already better. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I really do think that I really do wish the Democrats would fight back on religion. They don't. They don't point out the massive levels of hypocrisy there Republican Christians have by ignoring the Gospel of Matthew and good chunks of Gospel of Luke. But you see, I don't expect them to because that's just not, you know, they're kind of afraid. So, but here are two areas you can go with. One is I want to go back to the story about the Republicans and these loon ball far rightos. Because if you've noticed, a lot of Republicans are terrified. Republican politicians are terrified of basically going against this and labeling these insurrectionists what they are. Because not because every Republican is against them, but by their own acknowledgement, if you minus 1.8 million people out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, out of the state things, it's a 50-50. So it's basically at best, it's probably about a 65-35 ratio in the state of people who agree with them and don't agree with them. Now, the last I checked, 65% of the state would be the majority. And so these Republicans are going, when it comes to the general election, are going to frantically run away from these extremists and try to pretend that that didn't exist. Democrats, if you have a brain in your freaking head, you label, you sure as heck had better have someone run against Corin up there and saying, this guy, is basically taking the sides of the insurrectionists. And go with that. And sure, don't get me wrong, there are going to be lunatic fringe guys that are going to love him for it. Yeah, he is. He's doing great. I love him. But a lot of Republicans don't. A lot of Republicans don't like him. And don't like this idea of snuggling up to insurrectionists. So when it comes to the general election, these Republicans have got to get away from this. Even in the farthest right districts, maybe not Wyoming or Idaho, but in most far right districts, they're not going to be able to suck up to the 1-6 insurrectionist in the general election. If you build an entire ad campaign against how this is the Republican Party is the party that's pro beating cops at the U.S. Capitol, wow, that's going to have some traction. And I also should mention the health care thing. I don't know why in 2020 the Democrats did not hammer that one home again. It worked for you very well in 2018, but then you started thinking too much and thinking you could not go to that well once again. And so you didn't use it as much as you should have. It's clear what's going on in America right now. The reason why COVID's so bad is the unvaccinated Republicans. And if you missed the story from earlier in the day, and this is a story that was the Axios story, 67% of Minnesotans over age 5 are fully vaccinated. 50% of the state, 18 and older, are boosted. Those numbers, you know, the vast majority of people believe in vaccines. The vast majority of people believe in vaccinations. And trust me, we've already talked about this over and over again. The Republicans, when it comes to the general election, are just like, where did you ever get the idea we were against vaccines? We were just against personal options. And I think vaccines are swell. They're all going to do this. But if you hammer hard saying, that's the party of anti-vaxxers, that's the party that is basically the reason why we didn't, and we've had recurrence after recurrence after recurrence of COVID, is the Republican Party. If you hammer on these, I stand by science and I stand by medicine. I stand by the betterment of the community. I'm not a selfish person that basically is sitting there either telling people to ignore science or ignoring science on my own just because I don't want to do it. Sure, once again, they're going to get people out there saying, oh, that's a big mistake. All of us are on their side. All of us are on their side. But the reality is the numbers don't lie. The vast majority of the state are for vaccines, are for doing what's right for the community. And if they get labeled the party of anti-vaxxers, the party of COVID, well, they won't win. You had success in 2018 pre-pandemic. Don't be afraid to go down this path because it's like, well, it's been holding on. It's been holding on because of anti-vaxxer fools. Hammer these people. Fight back. So there you go. Democrats, DFLers, you want to run for office, run on those three things. The party on the other side of the aisle thinks the 1-6 insurrectionists are just harmless fun and play them the videos or show them the screenshots. The party on the other side is anti-vaxxers. I'm for basically trying to get past the COVID, outbreak here by getting as many people vaccinated as possible. They're anti-science. I'm with the 67% of the state that's gotten vaccinated. And then if you got it, go for it. Go for the religion. Fight back on that. Hey, my version of the Bible has the Gospel of Matthew, has the Gospel of Luke. Remind Christians of what their Bible is supposed to say. You actually will clean house pretty dang good. And I know it's hard. Well, Matt, they're angry. Let them be angry. They're bullies. And if you let the bullies win, guess what? We're in worse shape. We allowed that to happen in 2016 when the biggest bully of them all became the president of the United States. And you know what? I'm tired of it. Stand up to the bullies. And if you can't do that, then don't run. Because you know what? There are good people out there who don't have a problem doing that. And scene. We're back tomorrow. Have a good one. Until then, see ya.